Good morning, congregation here. We want to welcome those who are joining us online this morning. I hope you all are doing well and staying healthy. It's good to be among those, among the brethren here, to worship God in spirit and in truth. And to set our minds towards that worship, I wanted to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and I'll be reading verses 8 through 12. This is where King David is bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, and he's worshiping here. And it says in verse 8, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell all of his wondrous works. Glory is his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember those wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered." So as we think upon those things, the things that God has done for us, and as we offer up our worship to him and sing praises to him, let us truly give thanks in our hearts and rely upon him completely. And with that in mind, let's pray. Father God, we come together to thank you for allowing us to assemble together to worship your name in spirit and in truth. We thank you for all the many blessings that you give to us on a daily basis. We thank you for the word that you have left for us, your commandments, your statutes, and all the things that you tell us in your word, how you have blessed us. We ask that we rely upon you completely and not rely upon the things of the world, which are temporary. We ask that as the speaker comes forward this morning, that we set apart everything from our minds to worship you in spirit and truth. And we ask that you would forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Greetings. It's good to be with you this morning as we share a bit from the Word of God. Do you remember a time when, as a child maybe, or perhaps with your own children, you lined folks up beside the doorpost, and you put a mark at how tall they are, and then next year they come along and you put a mark how tall they are, the kids get excited about seeing their own growth as they see themselves growing. With three daughters, I remember doing that, and I remember the time well. I wish we could have brought that post with us when we made the move so that we could see that kind of growth. It's really quite interesting. What would you do if one time you measure the child and he's here, and the next time you measure them and they're there? They've gone down instead of up. You know, that would be a terrible, frightening thing, and most of us would run to the doctor. We would assume, well, maybe they had shoes on this time and didn't have shoes on the last time, or maybe I just mismeasured, or maybe something happened. But if that happened consistently, we'd head to the doctor. We'd say, something is wrong. And in our text, interestingly enough, our author is concerned because these folks are not growing as they ought. They are indeed perhaps even going backwards in terms of where they are. Our text begins, "Concerning him we have much to say, it's hard to explain, since you've become dull of hearing." By the way, the word "him" there is referring back to Melchizedek. You may well remember that he's been talking about Psalm 110, verse 4. In Psalm 110, verse 4, he's talking about Melchizedek and how the Messiah is going to be a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he says, basically, I've got a lot I'd like to talk about Melchizedek, but you folks aren't ready to hear it yet. Unfortunately, you have become dull of hearing. Some have suggested, or maybe slow to learn, hard of hearing, sluggish hearers. Do you guys remember a slug? You remember slugs in your garden? I always hated slugs in the garden that would get my tomato plants. You know, a slug is a kind of sort of worm, but it's a big, thick worm that moves really slowly. And he's basically saying, you folks are slow hearers. and I don't think you're quite ready. You haven't moved as you ought. You're not growing as you ought to grow. Something is wrong. Basically, interestingly enough, in the Old Testament, the whole idea of hearing and obeying go side by side. In fact, the same word can be used for both. The word can be translated one time to hear and another time to obey. And so here are folks who are slow of hearing, slow to obey. They're slow to hear the Word of God. They're not listening to what God is saying. And that's a real danger for those who are believers. Here are folks in this church that are being persecuted, hunted down. They're facing real difficulties, and the real danger is that they will backslide to where they've been before. They want to play a kind of chameleon so that they'll just fit in with the folks around them and match whatever's around them rather than to grow to be the kind of Christians they ought to be. And then he goes on to say, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need for someone again to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food." He says basically it's high time you folks were teachers. You were folks who could share the Word of God with others. But unfortunately, you need somebody to teach it to you again, to teach you the elementary principles. That's another way of saying the ABCs. You remember back in first grade how the teacher had that whole big chart up there above the blackboard with the ABCs so that you could copy them and write them down like they have had them written up above, and you're supposed to write them on your own page, write the ABCs. He basically says you need somebody to teach you the ABCs of the gospel. Isn't that a shame? It's a shame that something like that is what you really need. In fact, you folks are babies. You need milk and not solid food. Now, here he's using that phrase, milk and not solid food, to refer to the fact that they are not mature enough to handle it, to digest what is going to be given them that is going to be significant. They have slid backwards. They've gone backwards. They need the ABCs again. I've heard folks who want the sermons to basically be a lot of sermons about the things that one must do to become Christian. But the majority of us who are listening to those sermons today are folks who've already done that. We don't need those lessons. We need lessons about how do I live out my life? How do I live out the Christian life? We don't need it. We need to be folks who are experienced in the Word and need to see the significance of it all. Here are folks who are in need of somebody to teach them, again, the ABCs. You don't need that, folks. You need to move beyond that. It is time to move on. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But the solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern the good and the evil. Everybody who takes milk, those ABCs of the gospel, what you have to do to become a Christian, those kind of ABCs that we all needed to hear at the very beginning, if you really need that again, you're a babe. And you're not mature. Because mature folks have their senses trained. Isn't that interesting language? Their senses trained to discern good and evil. One of the things that ideally should happen is that we should be able to learn how to tell the difference between what's good and what's bad. But here are folks who are struggling to do that. These Christians that the author of Hebrews is writing to are folks who are in danger of giving up their Christian faith. They're folks who are Jews and they've become Christians, but they're in danger of going back to Judaism again. Going back to those things, and they're in danger of having to learn those ABCs all over again. And he's going to tell us a bit about what those ABCs are. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching, the ABCs, about the Christ, and I like the fact that he puts the Christ there. It's about the Messiah. Here are some ABCs about the Messiah, and you folks are missing what the Messiah is all about. And folks, you have to learn that all over again. We need to press on to maturity. You see, it's time to move on. Not laying again. And here are the kind of foundation things they shouldn't lay again. Laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. Now, the big debate that folks have had over the years is whether these are Christian elements or are these Jewish things that they need to move beyond. I think they're probably Jewish things. And there's some things there that I think make it pretty clear. First of all, he says, you shouldn't have to lay again the elementary teaching about the Messiah. That's stuff that you folks, as good Jews, should have learned. You know, you've read the Old Testament, you've read those prophets, and you know who the Messiah is supposed to be and what he's supposed to look like, and he's clearly Jesus. Jesus is that Messiah. But we got to press on beyond these things. And here are some of the things. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Repentance. That's an interesting word. For us, to repent means to change your mind. But in a kind of, that's the basic meaning of that Greek word. But it really means more than that. In the Old Testament, the word behind the word repent is a word, the Hebrew word is shuv. It means to turn, to change direction. You used to do things that were just dead works. They didn't lead to anything profitable. They are just, you're just doing it to be doing it. And you're missing what really matters. Repentance from dead works. And faith toward God. I mean, that's something that's that a good Jew, any Jew, good Jew should know, right? And it's something that any of us should know. That we need to put our trust in God. Faith indeed is that whole idea of trust. The next part is the part that's, I think, a bit misleading. If you have a good old King James Version, it will say, of instruction about baptisms. And that's a bad translation of the word. There's a Greek word, baptisma, that's the word for baptism. And this word is baptismos. I know ma, mos, the difference sounds minimal, but it's a big difference. Baptism is immersion, and baptismos is little dunkings. It's washings. I have a feeling he's talking to good Jews who are debating this whole idea of washing hands. You'll remember how they will criticize Jesus' disciples because they don't wash their hands before they eat. And, you know, we tell our kids they got to wash their hands before they eat. And, you know, my wife will ask me, have you washed your hands? You know, I got to go wash, make sure I've washed my hands because I'm working on the computer and so forth. And my hands may, but it's not that kind of cleanness. It is ceremonial cleanness. In fact, interestingly enough, you could wash your hands out of a jar made from manure as long as the manure came from a clean animal. What? You know, that's not clean. But it's ceremonial washings. And I think that's something that they were still debating. What about these ceremonial washings? Do we still have these washings? And the laying on of hands. You lay hands on folks that you're going to appoint for tasks. When a man is going to be appointed to serve as an elder, as you will remember in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they will lay hands on them. In the Old Testament, when they're going to be elders in the community, they'll lay hands on them. It's basically saying, we're behind you. When missionaries are sent out, one of the things that we do, that they would do, is lay hands on them. That's really important. And the next one is resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. You see, that was a big debate for the Jews in Jesus' day. You had those two groups. Remember the good old Sadducees and the Pharisees? I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, we learned Sadducees because they're sad, you see, because they don't believe there's a resurrection. They don't believe there's a resurrection. And the Pharisees did. And the big debate that was going on among the Jews was still, is there a resurrection? Paul says, you know, if there's no resurrection, then Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, you're not going to be raised from the dead. And if there's no resurrection, we might as well eat and drink and just be merry. But there is a judgment that's going to come afterwards, and there is a resurrection of the dead. Indeed, we'll be raised from the dead. One of the things that we celebrated this last week, as folks come together on Sunday, Easter Sunday, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. But we really do that every Sunday. We celebrated a few moments ago together when we took the Lord's Supper. We celebrated His resurrection. He was raised from the dead. And the reason we do it on Sunday is because that's the day He was raised from the dead. We don't keep Sabbath. Sabbath is, again, a good Jewish thing, and that's something that separated the Jews from the other people around them. We don't keep Sabbath, but we do keep Sunday, the first day of the week. By the way, in our song, that word wasn't Sabbath. He said it was the song we sang, Lord of Sabbath. It really was Lord Sabaoth. Did you notice that? It is Lord Sabaoth, which is Lord of hosts. He's the Lord over a whole army of angels. But I think that's important. Resurrection of the dead and judgment. And really, it's really interesting because he has really pairs. I think there are three sets of pairs. It is repentance and faith. Those go together. And washings and laying on of hands. Those go together. And resurrection and judgment. Those clearly go together. And he says it's time you move beyond that, folks. Those are ABCs of the gospel. And you need to move beyond that. And so that's the call. It's time to move on. I think God, He will go on to say, and this we will do if God permits. A little later on, He's going to talk about some other things that He's going to argue they need to move beyond, and we'll talk about that in another lesson. But He will say, basically, we will do this if God permits. And I want you to know, folks, that I don't think you're there. I really don't think you're so far behind that you're not growing. I don't really think you're going backwards. But the real danger is that you might be. It's a call for us as well as Christians. The real danger for us is that we don't make progress, that we don't grow in faith, that we don't begin to live out the Christian life. And we've got to live it out. It is more than those ABCs. What you have to do to become a Christian. It is living the life that God has called us to live. We're going to sing a song as an invitation song in a few moments. And again, if you need to respond to that in any way, we'd be happy to assist you. There may be folks who've never begun to walk that life. And if you need to walk it, we'd be happy to help you begin walking that life. Jesus says, buried in baptism, and to enjoy that new life that means everything to us. For the rest of us, I think we need to realize it is time for us to move on as well. It's time for us as Christians to grow and to become faithful believers who will live out our life to the glory of God. If you need to come, would you come as we stand and as we sing?